Just 1 week after the Democratic Party suffered a string of midterm election defeats, including losing control of the U.S. Senate, President Obama made a joint announcement with Chinese President Xi Jinping in Beijing, outlining a plan to reduce the carbon emissions of both nations, with the goal of boosting the chances for a successful international climate agreement in Paris in December 2015. The non-binding agreement, as described by Mr. Obama, would aim to cut U.S. carbon emissions by 26-28% below 2005 levels by the year 2025. Mr. Xi pledged that China would reach peak carbon emissions by 2030 and would build a new generation of green power sources to supply 20% of the nation's energy needs by the year 2030. Just a few days later, while at the G20 summit meeting in Brisbane, Australia, Mr. Obama announced that the U.S. would contribute up to $3 billion to the Green Climate Fund to assist developing nations adapt to climate change. Not surprisingly, Republican leaders criticized the U.S.-China agreement, despite the fact that many in the party had long based their opposition to regulating carbon emissions at home, as long as major polluters like China and India refused to make similar commitments. Many environmental groups were also critical of the agreement, but for a very different set of reasons. They pointed out that the carbon reductions outlined are not legally binding and are nowhere near the cuts needed if the world is serious about preventing runaway climate change. Your reporter spoke with Karen Ornstein, senior international policy analyst with the environmental group Friends of the Earth. Here she assesses the U.S. carbon reduction agreement and the challenges ahead for the climate change movement.
I think the biggest take-home of the announcement, and it's really actually more of an announcement than an agreement because there's nothing binding to it. There's no legal nature. It's each country does what it wants. But I think the take-home is that it actually is not at all science-based. And while it has important political implications as far as climate change and justice and basic climate science, it's nowhere near the need it needs to be. So, you know, if we're talking about keeping the global temperature rise below 3.6 degrees Fahrenheit, which is 2 degrees Celsius, which is sort of the bare minimum that we might have a safe outcome as a result of a change in climate, these numbers that the U.S. has put on the table, as well as China, they don't get us there at all. But it's an important political step. One of the reasons that many senators and representatives have said we can't act on climate change is because China hasn't acted on climate change. So what this does is removes that excuse for inaction.
If you would, talk about the gap between what science is telling us is required of governments around the world, especially large industrial nations like the United States and China, and what this agreement represents. What's the gap?
Oh, the gap is really gaping. So it depends on what you're trying to get at. There's so many different scenarios. Where are you trying to keep the temperature from rising 1.5 degrees Celsius, which is what Friends of the Earth International, Friends of the Earth U.S. has called for? Are you trying to do 2 degrees Celsius, 4 degrees, and also what percentage you're trying to have of probability, like 50% of chance of going over 2 degrees, 50% chance of going over 1.5 degrees? And if we really are trying to get to stay on a path that's much more aligned with justice than with climate science and with really keeping the planet in much more close of a form of what it is today, then you're going to try to aim for no more than 1.5 degrees Celsius with a great degree of probability. And if that's the case, you know, the reductions the U.S. have to make are pretty enormous. In fact, we would have to go into the negatives. And you could say, well, how do you have negative, you know, over 100% emissions reductions? Physically, you can't. So then you would actually have incredible steep reductions within the U.S. domestically, and then you'd also facilitate reductions in other countries. The numbers are really big and would require far greater levels of ambition than what we're seeing here.
Tell our listeners, what, if anything, the consequences of these announcements from President Obama and the Chinese leadership. What kind of role will it play in coming international negotiations in Paris and some of the precursor meetings?
There's going to be a climate summit next month in Lima, Peru. And then throughout 2015, there's going to be a series of negotiations all culminating in Paris in December of 2015, where we're expecting a new global climate agreement. And in the White House statements, its announcement with China and about the Green Climate Fund talk about the injection of political momentum into the international process. And I think that's true. What these announcements have done is they really have injected a greater sense of momentum for the talks. Having the two largest current emitters of greenhouse gases announce commitments to reduce their greenhouse gas emissions sort of sets the platform for other countries to start taking it more seriously, because the bar is set really low for the United States. So the fact that President Obama does anything that indicates in any way that he's serious about climate change and the United States is serious about climate change is a cause for applause around the world, whether or not that, again, is commensurate with need and with science. So what President Obama is before it, again, is not commensurate with what's needed or with what science demands or with what climate justice demands, but it's the United States. So people are happy that we're doing anything aside from just denying climate change is real. And the Green Climate Fund in particular, the U.S. coming out with a $3 billion announcement will actually cause other countries to up their financial contributions to the Green Climate Fund, or actually their financial pledges. Because let's remember that, for example, in the case of President Obama, he announced the $3 billion pledge to the Green Climate Fund. And I think that, you know, it's a welcome step, but it's, you know, much more needs to be done. But it's up to Congress now to appropriate that money over the next couple of years. And that will be a real challenge. And we'll see how much capital the Obama administration extends to make sure that Congress delivers on his promise. That'll be another test for Obama.
That was Karen Orenstein, senior international policy analyst with the environmental group Friends of the Earth. Find links to more analysis of the U.S.-China carbon reduction agreement and information on climate change by visiting our Between the Lines website at btlonline.org.